special welcome to our guests and our visitors who have traveled to be with us this morning. God be with you. I hope that by this time somebody has already expressed their love for you and their appreciation for your presence with us. Thank you for your attention this morning. Thank you for listening. This morning we look at a title that's a little bit different from what you see in the bulletin, but that's normal. You'll often see a title in the bulletin, which we made up a long time ago, and then as we get closer to due time here, it seems like there's a better title. And usually my wife has something to do with a better title than mine. Mine could be somewhat pedantic and exegetical. Hers is a bit more related to real life. So hats off to her. Pray with me for a minute. You are the God, Lord, of the unexpected. I think of Gabriel's message to Mary. What a surprise. No forewarning, just, by the way, I need your body. You're going to be the mother to the Son of God. We all face those kinds of challenges. You intrude into our life without even setting an appointment, without even asking our permission. You just barge in and say, hello, this is what I want you to do. And oftentimes we feel very, very inadequate, very weak. Perhaps there's people here facing some challenges in the year 2019 that don't seem things like they would sign up for voluntarily. They just soon say, well, thank you, Lord, but I'll pass on this one. Today, as we interact with your inspired word, I pray that the word would offer hope, encouragement, but also equip people and train people for the unexpected, the unprepared, and give them what they need, the skills, the thoughts, the preparation for the challenges that are just around the next corner. We thank you for our guests and our visitors who've been with us. Thank you for moving them to be with us this morning. Bless them, Lord. Just bless their socks off this morning with the preaching and the teaching of your word. If there's someone here who's dead to you, still in their casket, I pray that just like you did with Lazarus, you'd come to the tomb of their lives and speak their name and tell them to come forth. Give them life in Christ. We ask this for your glory in Christ's name. The 19th century was a period of exploration like never before on land and sea and ice caps. Many explorers succeeded, many failed. And the majority of the failures was because they didn't have the right map. They had faulty information. They based their trips and their expeditions on rumor, on opinions, and on tradition. And they failed. For example, the U.S. Navy asked Lieutenant George DeLong as a captain to explore the North Pole. Never done before. No one knew anything about it. They knew there was a North Pole, but no one had ever been there and said, hey, it's a nice place to have a vacation. They based their expedition on maps by a guy from Germany named Dr. August Petermann. Sounds very sophisticated. And he had maps of the North Pole. And it suggested that there's this thermometric gateway through the polar ice that you can just sail through. And once you get to the North Pole, it's an open polar sea, a wonderful cruise. And so Captain DeLong based his entire expedition on that map, expecting, what? Just a nice cruise up to the North Pole. So they put provisions for 60 days on his ship, and seven other men volunteered to go on the journey, and he set off on the 2nd of August, eager to reach the North Pole. But the map was totally false. There was nothing true about the map. Virtually almost many of the failures in our lives, in our expeditions, in new journeys, is because we don't get the right map. People give us a faulty map. When people enter marriage, and people give us a map of what marriage is going to be like, oftentimes it's a faulty map. We're not ready for the challenges of marriage. If you could raise your hand today, don't. And would agree that there were some surprises in marriage that you never knew were going to happen. I bet you there'd be one or two hands that would go up, and mine would be the first. If you're a new parent, or about to be a new parent. Devin, listen up. If you're given a faulty map, it's going to be disappointing, and you're going to be unprepared to be a parent. If you're going to school for the first time, or a new level of school, maybe you've done a bachelor's, you're headed up to a master's degree, or maybe PhD, somebody needs to give you a real map, a true map of the whole trip. Imagine me telling someone who wants to go to North Dakota that I give her a map, or I give him a map. And they look at it and say, but this is a map of Florida. I want to go to North Dakota. Well, I don't have that map. Good luck. You would want a map that includes not only North Dakota, but everything in between. Don't leave home without an accurate map. Mary was about to embark into the unknown. Mary was going to be a mom to the Son of God. Gabriel told her some pretty heavy stuff. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob. He's going to be a king from his ancestor David. He would rule over that house of Jacob forever, and he would be a savior. He would be Christ, and he would be Lord. That is the embodiment of Israel's God. That's pretty heady stuff. Wow, I get to do this. But later on, Simeon says, by the way, this journey that you're going to take has got some pitfalls. And one of them is that your own people are going to stab you. And it's going to feel like a sword right into your soul. And at that moment, you're going to quit. You're going to want to quit. You're going to say, I didn't sign up for this. I was asked to be a mom. But I didn't know that I'd be stabbed in the back by my own people and accused, have my son accused of things that he never did. So Simeon is part of Luke's strategy. Whenever Luke wants to make a claim about Jesus, he brings in three witnesses. Simeon's the first. Anna, the prophetess, is number two. And number three is Jesus himself, the story at the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Out of Jesus' own mouth, as a 12-year-old, he identifies himself as the Son of God. So Luke has three witnesses. And that's the policy of all Scripture. Anytime there's any accusation made or a claim made, what do you have to do? Every matter is established by the testimony of what? Two or three witnesses, Deuteronomy 19:15. If there's not three credible witnesses to a claim or an accusation, nothing should be said. Nothing should be heard. And Luke follows that. Luke follows it to a T. So we're going to listen to Simeon and see what he has to say about Jesus. We're going to listen to Anna the prophetess. And Luke always balances male and female. Luke is the great equalizer between male and female. You can trust the word of a man. You can trust the word of a woman. Both of them speak Scripture. Both speak truth. And Anna gives confirmation of Jesus. But at the same time, both of them prepare Mary for the battle that lies ahead. Luke shows that both these people are preparing Mary with a map. That's what Luke does. He's given Mary, or these guys, Simeon and Mary, or Simeon and Anna, are giving them an accurate map. So let's look at these maps and these series of confirmations. I'm at Luke 2. 22. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem. Remember, they don't live in Jerusalem. They live way up north in Nazareth. Jerusalem's in the south, in Judea, in the hill country, the mountain area, 3,000 feet above sea level. And they took him there to present him to the Lord. That's required of every firstborn. And he quotes it, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So these are law-abiding fathers and mothers. And here's what they had to offer. A sacrifice with what is keeping in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves, or two young pigeons. They were poor. And that's the allowable sacrifice for a firstborn son. If you didn't have any money, you could bring birds. Because you could even, in fact, catch these things wild and bring them in. So it didn't cost you any money. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Now, before we allow any testimony of somebody to take a witness stand, what's the important thing about the witness?
Credibility.
Believability. What was the problem at Jesus' trial? What was the problem with all of Jesus' trials in Jerusalem? They brought witnesses, but what? They all contradicted each other. And so the Roman governor, Pilate, said, this guy's innocent. This guy's innocent. In fact, what does he say? He says it three times. That's confirmation. Jesus is innocent. All these people are lying. Well, Simeon's not a liar. He's got credibility. And look what Luke says about this guy. Like his chest. First of all, he was righteous. Secondly, he's devout. In fact, he'd been waiting, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. This man is focused on Scripture and what God was going to do eventually to the nation of Israel. And look at this. Three times he's going to mention the Spirit. You see Luke? How many times? Three times. That's not a mistake. Number one, the Holy Spirit was on him. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Number two, it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Wow. And then thirdly, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took the child, the baby, in his arms, and praised God. Remember, this baby's 8 days. 8 days old. Why, by the way? Don't answer, but why? Don't they give the name of the child until after 8 days? Why don't they circumcise until the 8th day? Why not the 1st day? It has to do with Genesis 1 and 2. Here's what Simeon said. 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. What does he call Jesus? God's salvation. That's what Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1, right? Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Oh, that was the shepherds. A Savior who's Christ the Lord. Which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people, Israel. That's his credibility. Simeon has something to say because he's credible. The child's dad and mom were amazed about what was said about him. And then he blessed them and he said to Mary, now he focuses the camera. Remember, this is a private moment. This is not public. This is in the temple courts just with dad and mom there. He didn't say this to dad. I don't know if he knew that his dad would die early. I don't know that, but as you know, basically Joseph disappears from the scene. And Mary is still on the scene at the cross, according to John 19. And he said to his mother Mary, this child is destined to be the cause of falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be opened up and revealed. And a sword, that's a military sword, not will prick you, not will scratch you, and not will cut you. No, this sword is going to pierce your soul. In our nomenclature, it's like someone is going to stab you in the back. What is Simeon doing? What is Luke doing? Luke is preparing us and preparing Mary for two things. First, to confirm to us that Jesus is the Son of God. That's confirmation from the lips of a credible witness. But secondly, what he is doing for her is to say, here's a roadmap for you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. When people hear Jesus Christ, what's inside them already will come to the surface. If it's ugliness and meanness and nastiness and anger that they've carried around masked by their Jewish religion, when Jesus comes on the scene, that stuff's going to come to the surface, and you're going to find out what people are really like when he starts telling you the truth and stepping on your toes. All of that religious tradition that you wear coming to church, Simeon says, that's going to come flooding to the surface when Jesus starts preaching. And you know what? If you read the Gospel of Luke, what happens? immediately people start opposing Jesus.
Why?
Because he was upsetting their apple cart, he was stepping on their toes, he was pointing out they were more committed to tradition than to the scriptures, and they got mad. You are the cause of what? Falling and rising. Who are those who embrace Jesus? The marginalized, the poor, the people who are overlooked, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, Zacchaeus, Luke 19. And it's all the big shots, the big leaders in the church who got mad because their positions of authority were being challenged. But the big thing here, the painful thing, is that Simeon tells this woman, and I imagine she felt this at the cross and during the trials, you're going to feel like God has or somebody has stabbed you right in the heart. Wouldn't you appreciate it if someone gave you a task, but then, having told you what the task was, said, by the way, this is what's going to happen? Wouldn't you want a roadmap that was based on the truth? Mary would need resilience. Mary would need endurance and perseverance. Mary would need an encouraging word when the chips were down and she saw things going south for her boy. How many mothers out here? What do you do when you hear someone attack your child in a false way? You enjoy that? Or a wife, someone's attacking your husband, and you know that the accusations are based on lies and innuendos and rumor. If someone had ahead of time said to you, this is what's going to happen when you're in leadership. This is what's going to happen. It's not a mistake. God's not out of control. God's not looking from the edge of heaven and saying, oh man, things are out of control. What did I do? Things are in perfect control. It's going to happen. Forewarned, forearmed. Mary would have that memory of Simeon's words, a sword. And at the cross, I'm sure she said, man, this feels like a sword. All of you mothers, all of you wives, know that feeling. When God's people are the ones who take the sword and shove it in, it's an awful feeling for wives. But it happens. It happens. So God, through Simeon, gives her a roadmap and says, this is what life's going to be like. Endure. I'll be with you. As the hymn we sang, through fiery waters, through deep waters, through fiery trials, your pathway shall lie. God will be with us. It's hard today to find people who will give you a real roadmap. Listen to Christian television and books. Your best life now. Imagine Mary thinking that at the cross, watching Jesus. Your best life now. No, it's your worst life now. We need to give people maps that are accurate. About marriage, about education, about school, about parenting, about life in church. I've said this so many times. What are Christian young people more delusioned by than anything else? The way pagans act? No, it's the way Christian leaders act. It's the one thing I hear over and over and over and over again. It's the way Christian leaders act with other people. It's their biggest delusion. Every single conversation I have. It shouldn't be that way, but it's the way it is. Anna also confirms Jesus' identity, just as Simeon's done, and she gives hope. We also need a map, but we also need hope. Notice what Anna does. There was also a prophetess, Anna. Now, look at her credibility. Luke gave credibility for Simeon. He gives credibility for this woman. Now, she's an incredible woman. And Luke takes the time to give us the details. She's the daughter of Phanuel. So people could track her down and go to Phanuel and say, is that your daughter? Yeah. Uh-huh. So Luke gives us data for people who want to track this down and authenticate the story. She's of the tribe of Asher. So she's smack in the middle of Israel's history. She's not some foreigner from Syria or from Damascus or Arabia. No, this is a Jewish woman. She understands. And she was a widow until she was 84. Why tell us that? Well, the book of Lamentations tells us that Israel was a widow, and a widow for a long time. This woman knew the pain of suffering without her husband for many, many years. And yet, rather than feeling sorry for herself, she never left the temple. She worshipped night and day, fasting and prayer. There's her credibility. This is a woman you listen to and you can trust. And she's sent by God. At that very moment, do you see the timing factor? At that very moment. Remember, she doesn't know Joseph and Mary. She doesn't even know Simeon. But look at how God's clock works. She came up to them and she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child who? To all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Huh? Or, excuse me, the redemption of Jerusalem. What's she doing? It would not be long before she would hear Jesus say, crying over Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I have longed to gather you under, gather to me as a hen gathers her chicks together under her wings, but you were not willing. She would hear Jesus say that. And then she would hear later on in 70 AD how General Titus from Rome came and surrounded Jerusalem, broke down the walls, killed millions of people and sent the rest into captivity. But she would remember the words of Anna the prophet, that one day Jerusalem would be redeemed. One day in the future, God would pull everything back together again. Why did she say that? Simeon has told her that the road ahead includes a sword, but Anna comes along and gives her hope that in spite of the tragedy, God will put everything back together. God's going to bring hope. God will restore this city which has rejected Jesus. Don't we need both? Don't we need the truth on our roadmap, but don't we need hope at the same time? Don't we need the reality that if we're heading into marriage, we're heading into parenting, we're heading into a school, we're heading into church life, that things are going to happen which should not happen by God's people? But don't we need hope that it can be restored and reconciled? Even the worst things can turn out for good. Don't we need to hear that hope? I do. I do. After you pull knives out of your back, you need to know that those wounds will heal. And you don't have to take a knife up and stab back. God will take care of the judgment. God will take care of the discipline. I need to know that. I need hope. Hope is that energy that gets us up in the morning and keep going. In spite of the fact that our back may be black and blue. What Luke is doing is providing us with two witnesses, confirming Jesus' identity, but also giving us truth for the journey, a map and hope. Now, what can we take home with us this morning from the scene at the temple? What can we take home with us? I suggest a few things that will, I think, give us encouragement for the new year. Think about this, the timing of God's clock. What if Anna had come first before Simeon? What if Mary had heard Anna say, yeah, one day Jerusalem will be reconciled. And then Simeon came along and said, you're going to get a sword in your soul. She would be tempted to think that the sword would cancel out the hope. So God made sure that Simeon came in first and then Anna. That yes, there's a sword, but yes, there's hope. The timing of Simeon and Anna was perfectly arranged by God. Here's the painful truth. Here's the map. But by the way, here's hope. And then, think of this timing. Simeon was moved at the right time to come into the temple. Didn't even know Joseph and Mary, but came in moved by the Spirit of God. God's perfect timing. And then third, what if Simeon had come before Gabriel. Gabriel came and said, your son is going to be a king. He's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. He'll be Christ the Lord. But what if Simeon had come first and said, by the way, you're going to have a son, and a lot of people are going to hate him, and he's going to cause trouble in Israel, and in the end, you're going to get stabbed because of him. You're going to feel like someone has stabbed you. And then Gabriel would come along second and say, by the way, yeah, you're going to get stabbed, yeah, but, you know, your son's going to be the king. I wonder if Mary would have said, wait a minute, I'm not signing up for this. I'm not signing up for this. I wonder if Mary would have said, sorry, Gabriel. Sorry, Gabriel. You're going to have to check on another teenage girl down the road in Nazareth. Here, I'll give you my best friend's address. Her name is Tina. She lives two doors down. But God arranged that Gabriel came first, and then Simeon, and then Anna. All of us need to know that in the midst of the storm, God's clock is not off. He's not eight, he's not late, he's not too early. We need to know that the clock of God keeps perfect timing. And he sends people to us to give us the truth, but also to warn us. He gives people the movement of the Spirit of God and brings them into our life to give encouragement. I've experienced this recently. God brought good people into my life to encourage us, to encourage me when I needed it at the right time. We can trust the clock of God in the midst of the storm. The second question, I think, looms large on our horizon this morning. Would you give me a moment to talk to you about it? Are you embarking on a new expedition? Are you going to the North Pole in the next few months? Are you heading into marriage? Parenting? A new school? New job? Maybe you're a brand new Christian. Life's going to be a bed of roses for you. Everybody's going to act wonderful. You're going to be surrounded by super women and super men. And everybody's going to be sweet and kind, and no one will ever say a bad thing about you. Good luck. It's your best life now. If we are embarking on a new ministry, we have to be careful about who gives us the maps. Now, back when I was in college working at an interstate service station, I-196, close to I-94, we used to give away free maps to everybody who came in who needed a map. Do you remember those days? You'd go into a service station. You could get your car overhauled, tires changed, cars washed, and they'd give you away free air out of the air pump, free windshield wash, free check the oil, clean your headlights, and free maps. So if you were lost, give you free maps. They don't give maps anymore, do they? But our culture gives lots of people maps, and the Christian church gives people lots of maps. And they're maps that are just like that map to the North Pole. They're completely false. We need to give people the truth. Not because we're mean. Was Simeon mean? Was Simeon being mean to Mary? Was he being unkind? No. All of you who want to get married, listen to someone who'll tell you the truth. And he'll give you a map of what it's like. And also give you hope. You're about to be a parent? Oh, it's so beautiful to have a baby. That baby is going to be a saint for the rest of her life. Right. I have oceanfront property I want to sell you in Kansas. If you're embarking on a new journey, ask for help. Ask for a map from someone who's credible and whose life is not committed to tradition, but committed to the Scripture, and their life shows it. An accurate map shows the whole trip. It shows the setbacks, but it shows how setbacks can be a preparation for a comeback. There's hope. There's the gospel. There's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, Mary and Joseph were not in this journey by themselves. God brought people to them because they went to the temple. If you are about to make a journey somewhere, marriage, parenting, schooling, a new ministry, if you're a new Christian, do it in community. Why? Because you need people around. You need people around you in those moments of loss. Widows need a supportive community for that new journey. If you're in retirement as a new venture of life, you need to do that retirement in community. so that your help can be given to all sorts of people and they can help you guide through those first years of retirement. Make your journey in the community. There are no lone rangers. There are no lone rangers in the Christian church or the Christian life. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed Simeon and Anna as a source of help. I hope that two things come across this morning very clearly and plainly. Number one, Jesus' identity as the Son of God is confirmed by two witnesses, a man and a woman, both with credibility. And secondly, both of them are responsible for helping Mary become what? When she was at the cross in John 19, looking up at Jesus, was she a wild, lunatic woman saying, "Why did you do this to my son?" Did she become emotionally unhinged? Does anybody see Mary fly off the handle and say, "God, what are you doing to me? You're so unfair." No. Why? We see a woman who's resilient, prepared, enduring, and a woman of hope. Why? Because two people prepared her way back when. She could remember what people had said to her. You want to be a mentor? Man, we need you. There are people in the church here this morning, I'm sure, that need someone to come alongside them and help them through the difficult maps of life. George DeLong and his crew of seven, almost immediately after launching their ship on August the 2nd, were surrounded by ice. They looked at their map. They looked at the ice. What do you think they did with the map? They chucked it. It was a false map. And their journey became a tragedy because someone gave them a false map. Thank God for a real map, an inspired map called Scripture, and people who help us through the journeys of life. Don't leave home. Don't leave this year. Don't leave last year without a credible map. Otherwise, there will be shipwreck. Shipwreck based on faulty maps. Let's look out for one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's tell each other the truth. Let's give each other hope in this new year. Thank you for listening this morning. God bless us all with love and grace. Let's stand and let's pray as we prepare to sing, led by Lee, "Be Still, My Soul," number 530. Pray with me. Rand McNally has guided us across the interstate system of this country. GPS does the same. Maybe even our phones. But even Rand McNally makes mistakes, as does GPS, as do our phones. But we can trust you. You give us a true roadmap. You show us the beginning. You show us the end. You show us the bumps. You show us the mountains, the rivers, and the valleys. You show us the snowstorms and the rainstorms and the days of sunshine. Thank you that you give us a real map that's accurate. Give us wisdom as we are handed all sorts of maps by people about what life will be like. Give us a discerning eye. Turn our minds back to wise people that we know who are committed to Scripture, and that's what comes out of their mouth. May all those who are embarking on a new journey today, being a widow, being retired, going to school, about to get married, about to become a dad or a mom, and other ventures, other trips, Lord, let them have the motivation to find a good roadmap that's accurate. And then let them be surrounded by community. A community which will help them make the journey together. We do better together. We ask for Jesus' sake.